Hello, who just stepped in?
Vinny Solano.
Hi, Vinny.
How are you?
Good. Hi, who just checked in?
Good morning. Afternoon. Monday.
Hi. Welcome. Hey, Trent.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
First day of the month.
First
week of the month.
So, what's on your mind, and how is the month?
Well, what's on my mind? That's a vast question. I've gone through sort of the scheduling, and today's a non-call day for me. I just don't do anything on Mondays. Most Mondays, especially the first Monday of the month, but I guess I really struggle with the follow up. The folders build up. I need to get better at. I'm sure you've not heard that one before, but I guess I go through a great meeting and then it's like, all right, I got to follow up and do this, and then it's like, oh my God, then I get like 10 folders. Oh, inevitably, 10 folders on my desk, and looking for some solutions how I don't let that happen. I mean, I get the follow up. You know, it's kind of like you get to the show, you had the show, and it's like, all right, now I got to go back and do the follow-up email, and that has just, I don't know, for whatever reason, that task is. I know it's important, but should I be scheduling a half hour after every appointment to make sure that I have the time to just sit down and do it right then and get it done?
What would you suggest for yourself, knowing how your brain works?
I mean, I guess what I'm doing works the best is I just let it stack up and then I just sit down and book some quiet time and bang it out in 3 hours. And then I can get a lot done. It's better for me because, like, after the meeting's over, I'm mentally like, all right, I got to move on to something else. Do you have people that work in that format? As long as I'm getting it out the same week, I guess it shouldn't matter. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's just other people checking in. I would, my first inclination is to tell you to do it, right away, right? Do it immediately after the call. That's what a coach would normally tell you and say that. But by asking you what works for you, we don't want you to become somebody that you're not happy with and doing a job you don't like. This is a hard job. This is not the fun part of the job.
No.
It is one that's rewarding and it's what the clients need, but it's not fun. So you got a couple of choices. One, you can buy a dictation machine and dictate it right after. That's what doctors do. Or they type it in immediately after each session or while the client is even there. I mean, I hate it because the doctors don't look at you anymore. They type while they talk.
What about like Dragon Speak or something of that nature?
Yeah. I think dictating and, the Dragon, which you dictate into and it automatically writes it out for you. I think that would be worth looking at because of the efficiency of it.
Yeah, it's all about time, right? It's all time management.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing, and then I'm just focusing on every month trying to get the folders a little bit further along on the intel gathering on the clients. And that seems to be... That is actually a nice thread to every meeting. Who does your roof? Just kind of the basics of I know who your attorney is. I know who your CPA is. And, all right, if you had a problem with your house, who would work on it? And who would you call? What would you do? And I think that getting that information is important as well. And I guess what's on our mind is, it's Florida. This is the time of the year when we are on stage and there's a lot going on. It's probably the busiest time of the year for us, you know, this next last month, last 2 months, and then, you know, till a week after Easter, we are just inundated with things and activities going on, from charitable events to, you know, to everything else. So I think it's just booking that, you know, booking that quiet time in my schedule as well, maybe, so that I can get caught up on things. And every day having an hour of, like, maybe catch-up time. But it is a time management beast for all of us. Everyone on the team, everyone listening is limited by their time right now because there's just so much to do. So there's no precursor to this call, right? This is just follow-up. How's it going? How's Supernova
right.
going? Yeah.
And one of the that can work great for you, or we can, you know, I wrote down identify most important issues and make that the homework for the next month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's up to you guys what you want to do and get out of it. I mean, this is leverage. There's no curriculum for this, but
mm-hmm.
there's certainly issues. You know, there are many, many issues that everybody has.
All right.
And the question, go ahead.
So to make this move along and involve everybody, like, you know, no one has to answer right this minute, but think about it for a minute or two. Like, what's the one thing you would like? It doesn't have to be a sentence or anything, but everybody, like, what's the one thing that everyone would like to accomplish in the next month? And if you could just think about it for a minute or two, Rob and I'll keep talking. It won't be the Rob and Trent show. Kind of just tell me, like, the one thing, hey, I'd really like to see this happen. And then if everybody can just state that, then maybe we can say, all right, you know, let's have a conversation about, you know, how do we prioritize these things? Would that be a good way about going about it?
Yeah, I mean, that clearly is an inclusive, you know, you got to get feedback because there could be an issue going on that is way more important than, you know, getting your folders up to date, you know.
Right, right.
And that yeah. would, you know, it may not be, but it may be. And then that becomes the most important thing for the team to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Good.
Yeah, so does anybody, I don't want to point you out, but I'd like to go through everyone on the call and just sort of say, hey, you know, here's what I see. Or it could be like, I see this working. I'm a little bit confused by this. Implementation, whatever it may be. So, who do I have on the call first?
I'm here.
Sheila.
Mm-hmm. I think Kay is
Sheila,
running late.
Vincent, Stephen, Herb.
Mm-hmm.
Herb, are you here?
Well, I guess he's mm-hmm. not on it.
Yeah,
he's
light
new and he's new and maybe doesn't understand. So Sheila, I mean, see Sheila, so Rob, just some context, Sheila helps me with my schedule and kind of keeps me on track, and God bless her. Not an easy job, as you can imagine, but I'm trying to run everything through Sheila. So Sheila, somebody eating potato chips, please stop. Sheila, can you go through and, you know, anything you see or you'd like to see differently?
I think it's just on the clients that, you know, some of them don't really want to meet every month or quarterly,
mm-hmm.
right? You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to kind of remind them. And maybe
mm-hmm.
that's, we just move them to quarterly. I mean, they
mm-hmm.
trust you, they're happy with you, and
mm-hmm.
they're older, mostly older people. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're happy just doing it on the phone or
yeah.
coming in, you know, on a quarterly basis. So
mm-hmm.
maybe we do just ask them, hey, do you want to do a quarterly? And, you know, would you like the phone, you know, phone
mm-hmm.
conversation instead?
Mm-hmm.
We'll do
so,
stuff
okay.
like that. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Can I speak to that for a sec?
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that as an opportunity because what I do there with people who don't want to talk to me every month is I say, that's great.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to call you up anyway. And if you're there, you're there. And if you're not, you're not. And guess what? They're always there.
Mm-hmm.
And they always say, I'm really glad you called. Even though nothing's going on, I appreciate you took the minute to call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, we can do that. We can just put skip. I think we've done that on a few people already.
We have. Yeah, I've said that. Like, for example, tomorrow, like, I'm calling Bill Charette, you know. I guess I should just put him on there and on the schedule because I call him every month. So he's like, I don't want to set an appointment, but yeah, he has one and doesn't realize it. And he's like, guess what? He's always home. So.
And they really do like, I mean, even though,
yeah.
Because they're trying to do us a favor, which is the nature of a good client.
Mm-hmm.
But even that 4 minutes of saying, I'm checking in, I know you don't need anything, they may tell you, hey, I want to let you know I bought a new car, or I'm thinking about buying a new car.
So, Rob, that's all kind of a good little dialogue there, right? So what about, and maybe this is my comment, if we do that, maybe I should just send them, yeah, because they'll like getting things, not necessarily handwritten, but a quick little letter, because that older school likes the letter. Just, hey, nice talking to you today. Just as a reminder, we talked about these few things. You know, we're here for you if you need anything. Should I automatically just, that be my follow-up and send it to them? I mean, it can be an email for most people. Or should we make it a letter?
No, I think, look, the reality is you need to be as efficient as humanly possible. And
right.
God bless you for thinking of it and mm-hmm. even wishing you could do it. But if you're having a terrible time getting your summaries done for your existing clients, don't start with a bunch of letters because that will just kill you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
and what do you think
make
of Sheila? Yeah.
Make your summaries as brief as possible, but, bullet points. You know, I love you. This is what, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. For, blah, blah, blah. Here's the three things that we talked about. And these are this is what we both agreed to do. I'm going to do this. You're going to do this. And then thank you. Bye. And now you've got something important to put in your notes or to put in your folder or even just have on the computer. So the next time you talk to him, you've got the three things that you wanted to follow up on, just like I do with you guys.
Yeah.
You need to have that in your folder and or on the computer. But trying to send them a handwritten note, unless it's a, death in the family or a crisis or something, I love you for doing it, and I wish I could do more. But if you're anything like me, time is crazy, and notes take time. So when you do it, it's very special. So it's great if you can do it, but I don't want to burden you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It occurred. And what about Sheila's idea? Some people are just butlers. I'm going to be quarterly calls. That's just the way they are.
I would really steer away from that as much as humanly possible, unless you want to drop them as a client.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to keep them as a client, they get 12-4-2. Now,
okay.
They won't do 12-4-2.
Right.
They will do 8, instead of 12, because they're not going to be there, and you're going to be gone, and things are going to happen.
Right.
But you got to set the goal, and because you got to be true to your mantra, is that each and every client gets multi-generational planning, full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, sue them in person, and rapid response to your problem. Every time you compromise that, it becomes something you're not willing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you lose the marketing leverage of knowing that everybody that comes in the Ritz gets the same treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can do it in such a way that it's not a scheduled appointment. That's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you call them every month, and then you send them an executive summary.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's just a note, just, hey, great talking with you today. Glad the family's doing well. Look forward to talking next month. So to me, I think, if you can, if I were, I am your coach.
Yep.
I would suggest you do the you do it right after your call, and I would tell you to give yourself more time. Give yourself more of a break in between calls so that you don't feel crazy.
Rob?
He's right.
You know, one of the things that I've done, and I did it consciously, is I've allocated too much time, if there is such a thing. I've allocated between 60 and 90 minutes for every one of those calls. And the benefit that I've gotten is, number one, as we anticipated, the calls get shorter. But number two, it's exactly that thing that you pointed out. I sit down and I knock out my email based on my handwritten notes, and two things happen. Number one, I remember the client better. Number two, the client hears from me promptly. And it even though I'm not 100% there, I will tell you, it's making 100% of a difference with the people that we are there with.
I think it's a big deal. I'm the chairman of the investment committee for the Island School, and we had a meeting, and immediately after the meeting, I came home, typed up the minutes, and sent them out. The meeting for the board was the next day. They had their meeting, their minutes, before they ever walked into the board meeting. So when I gave my presentation, everyone on my committee had a copy of the minutes. If there was something in the minutes that needed to be amended, they could tell me right there. And I bet three out of the seven people in my committee thanked me for sending them so promptly. That's the way I like to do business, they said. Thank you. So this is a situation where I'm kind of on stage with a bunch of very influential and important people. Not that when you're retired you care, but you do. You still have your own prestige, you know. You don't want to be an idiot. And so it made me feel better, and I'm as ADD as any human being. And so for me, you know, it's really painful to have to sit and do that. But I know I'm a better me when I do it. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go back when you miss and do what you're doing now.
Right.
But if you can practice doing it right away and make it a part of your mantra, I think you'll like Supernova better. You won't hate it.
Oh, I don't hate it. I mean, it definitely has given me structure. One, two, three, four. I think that it's great structure, and implementing into our system, it's actually helped me keep a client who I can't believe has not left, honestly. You know, he's a busy business guy, and once I said, hey, we're going to do this, he was like, ah, oh, awesome. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, it just changed his life. Now it's like I'm just one of his business meetings. Now sometimes he'll email and say, hey, I have a business meeting. Can we put it off, or can we skip it and just talk next month? You know, I'll say, well, whichever you prefer. I mean, I can put it off. I have a lot of meetings. Can we do it this day? He's like, oh, I'm busy. Let's just go next month. Or, hey, can you talk after hours?
Yep.
But in general, I think, you know, the importance of coming back to this meeting is, I mean, it's nice that you take us back to the very beginning of the 12-4-2, multi-generational planning, financial planning for everyone, and everyone gets rapid response within 24 hours. I got to live by that, you know, and I got to do that with everybody, and I got to, you know, I got to convince some people to, you know, that's important to them. So, and like tomorrow, I'm going to call this guy Bill and say, hey, Bill, you know, you said you didn't want to do this, but we've really done it for 3 months in a row. If you take a look back, you know, you'll see December, you know, January, February, now March, we're talking every month, and we're talking on this date. You'll notice that I call you and we have a conversation. So can we just please schedule this? You know, I really want to have this with you because I value you as a client, you know, as an important business person. He was a CFO of a Fortune 500 company. I mean, why wouldn't he say yes to that?
Right.
I think it's sometimes just reiterating to him that you're going to do it This is what you do.
That's the pushback, right?
Yeah. You just handle the pushback by just saying, this is a service I'm providing. I can't not do it. You're important to me, and your family, and your family's important, and your family's important to me. If it's less than that, I gotta really wonder. Yeah, I mean, a lot happens in 3 month time frame. So,
a lot happens. A lot happens in a month.
Man, I had a client. I had a client in 3 months. Like in like 3 months, was gonna leave Florida, was gonna buy a house, new house here in Florida. We got that all worked out. Then they were going to move to Montana, and now they're going to stay in Florida and build a house here. I mean, that happened all in like a two-month time frame. Good thing I was constantly in front of them. And so instead of wiring money out, which I thought they were going to wire money out, now they're wiring money in. So I do think that constant contact is important. Anybody else?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Anybody else have, thoughts on the process of where it's, what they'd like to discuss or change? Or
I would like for us to I brought this up before, and it was not a favorite, but I would like for us to have 10 to 12 minutes at least every other day to check in and just say what's working, what's not working, what's happening, what's not. Because I think that the only three people that are probably going to be on the call are going to be you, me, and Kay. But I have dedicated 10 minutes every morning at 9 o'clock to doing that here with Joanne and with Herb, and it's made all the difference. Today I was not here, and all hell broke loose because I wasn't here at 9 o'clock to say, here's what's going on today.
Yeah, I don't want to go into the problems there, but that's just something we can set up. We can set up something like that for sure. I don't want to go into the problems of what happened, but we have to have a feedback time, a feedback hour. I agree with that. That's not to do with Supernova, though. I think I'm focusing more on how many. For example, I gave you a Word document, Steve, and I'm looking at mine. How many appointments do you have on your Word document now that are set up? I mean, that's a simple one screen to look at. Like, here it is. How does that go into?
Do you want me to pull up the document and answer the question, or are you being rhetorical?
That's what I'm focused on. Like, how many appointments are in? I'm being rhetorical. Like, how many appointments are in there? How many can you do? How many are we getting done? What's stopping us from doing them? Stopping.
Yeah, I'm doing 4 a day, 3 days a week, and I'm doing 2 a day, 1 day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Mondays I try to do 0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not – but what are the issues you're running into? 4 is a lot, by the way.
It is a lot. And
I don't think I would do that many. I mean, what do you think, Rob, is realistic?
It all depends on how many clients you need to service.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people say
4 is a lot.
How many clients can I have? And I ask the question, how hard do you want to work?
Yeah, I mean, basically, that is a 60 client menu, is what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And do we have Herb now helping you get those in the schedule?
Well, Joanne converted mine to an Excel spreadsheet in an effort to make things better, so I'm having to show Herb how to migrate it back to a Word document because Kay doesn't like Excel. Okay. Well, I don't know what the because is, but Joanne is trying to migrate it back, or Herb is. I don't know what
Do you use the scheduler? Steven, do you use the scheduler?
What is a scheduler?
The Supernova scheduler?
I can tell you, I honestly have no idea what that is.
No, they don't use that. They have ACT. They're on ACT.
Well, the scheduler is simply just
Outlook,
a way you drop. You use Outlook and you drop all your clients into the. But you don't have to use Outlook. You can just use the scheduler.
Yeah. I use ACT, which I've used for 25 years.
Right. Well, you can still use ACT. ACT doesn't. It's no problem to use ACT. The idea is that you can simply use the scheduler, though, to evenly populate your calendar so that you don't have to physically do it yourself. You're going to have to then take it off of the scheduler and put it into ACT, but it'll tell you how to equally populate your calendar rather than guessing. I don't know how you do it. I literally don't know how you do it otherwise, because 12-4-2 is not 12. The four reviews, two of them in person, and equally distribute those throughout the calendar so that they don't bunch up. I don't know how you could do that without the scheduler.
Well, what happens is we put it into ACT. We make it a recurring event. So if John Smith has 10:30 on the first Monday, he has it on the first Monday of every month for 12 months. It's done automatically.
Right. How do you do the four?
The four are done by Herb or Joanne. I have no idea. Well, I mean, it's not my job. I mean, that's not my job. I don't, I'm not, you know, it's not.
It's their job.
Right.
And their job would be infinitely easier if they use the scheduler, and it's free. You've already owned it.
Well, but why do I want to use the scheduler when I have a program that...
You don't want to. You want to have them use it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've never seen it, so I can't... I mean, it's like asking me what a giraffe looks like. I know generally, but not specifically.
Right. It's designed to make life easy for you, not to make it hard. So you get your four equally spaced throughout the calendar, and you get your two equally spaced. So you know when your in-person meetings are, and you know when your quarterly reviews are. The 12 is easy. The four and the two are what is tricky. And then you don't have them bunched.
Right.
And they equally space out all your clients so that you're not having, you know, more than you want to have. Mm-hmm. So you just drop your client. I mean, I don't know how physically how it actually – I mean, I sell it, I teach it, but I've never actually physically used it. But you basically drop the names in, and it equally populates the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drop another name in, and it does it, and you can drop in about 100 names, and it'll equally populate the calendar so that you have a maximum of 5 a day.
Yeah, and speaking to that in particular, I will tell you at this stage of the game, I don't feel as though I have the human ability to deal with 100 people on the structure that we're using now. I'm delighted and thrilled to have 50 or 60 people lined up in that format.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. I mean, 70 seems to be – people that have done Supernova for 2 years, 70 is the max that they want to ever have. So people – you know, do $5 million of business with 70 clients, and that's what they love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's the game. But anyway, I'm glad we had this conversation, because seriously, you want to – Cindy Bowie will help your team to use it, and, you know, it's there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a
what
program that –
What is it, Sheila? Is it just how you
it's
how
an
you
Outlook
schedule
where act? You can if you use Outlook, you copy it into Outlook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a program where it's a little bit easier to do it, but since we use ACT, you know, we'd be it's you're double, you know, you have to double do it into both programs. With the four, you just add them in on the quarterly, but you just add them in four times. You got them 12 times for the call.
Hey,
the four.
Hey, Rob. This is Vinny. Can I just ask you a question on that? I'm sorry to interrupt,
sure.
Bill. The whole reason about the bunching is what you're concerned about is having suddenly in 1 month everybody's physically coming in for their face-to-face, right? This
bingo.
Right. So this program spaces out the four review meetings or the two face-to-face meetings, and the same with the reviews, right? I mean, that's the whole concept of this thing.
That's right. You don't want to have, you know, 8 people coming in for in-person meetings on one day.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what we used to have, right? Everybody do their annual reviews in January.
Yeah. Everybody comes in January, right?
Right. Yeah. So now you have a separate fiscal year for each person.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, they have their annual review in March or something. You know, so it's it makes life so much easier for you. You can manage then, you know, 70 people and not go crazy.
Yeah.
So we originally developed this back in the early 1998-99, and then we redid it when I started Supernova Consulting, because the program actually was the brainchild of one of my associates who went a different way and took it with him. So I had to redo it and build it. But I just had a guy call me today and say, I want to buy your program. It's $2,000 on the internet, so you guys own it, so use it, you know.
Yeah, we just need to take a closer look at it, Sheila, together. Let's see if you can show it to me real quick. Because I think
like
that we're
well.
And then maybe we'll take a look at it, and I think if it's already there.
There actually was a program that, and I don't know if you guys can find it or not on the internet, but there was a Supernova was integrated into ACT, and there was somebody out there selling it. So I don't know if that still exists or not, because I don't use ACT. But your issue has been dealt with years ago, and there was somebody actually out there selling it, integrating it into ACT. So, but it wasn't us, and I don't have enough demand for it that I would build something like that.
Right, right. Okay, so a little bit more scheduling work on our side, which that's why I ask everybody where the pain is. Other Kay, I was asking, like, you know, for, you know, sort of honest feedback and issues, and you know, you're starting to use a little bit more, and what do you see as?
I think for the clients we have scheduled and we're using, it's worked out really well.
Yes.
We just have to get more people on there, and it's just a matter of how much time is there in one day for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
there have been a few clients who have pushed back and don't want so much contact.
We addressed that when you were not online.
Yeah.
Were you there when we talked about that?
A little bit towards the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, for example, I think that, use Bronstein as an example. I think that on the days that you email him,
mm-hmm.
did you? Well, I'll talk to you about that later. But I still think that I should pick up the phone and talk to him, even if it's just to say, how are things in Asheville?
That's
I think
fine.
That to let them cop out and go to an email is you know, it's kind of just a...
Email is not service. Right, right.
Right. And, it, you know, you could go then 6 months without... That's the trap.
Right.
It isn't the 1 month you miss. Yeah. It's
right.
not the 1 or the 2 months that you miss. It's the fact you haven't talked to them for 9 months.
Right.
And you didn't even know it. You know, it's just a black hole you've got to stay out of. And
so
of course they don't...
What I'm getting then is we should push back against clients who push back, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, we should do what I'm doing. I mean,
I think it's yes, but it's like, yes, I know you don't want to hear.
Not aggressively, but I mean,
yeah,
we should sort of maybe even, you know, be a little sneaky about it and call them every month at the same time. And
that was the comment.
Hey, can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
Are you finding the resistance with clients that you had for a while and that this is a change, or are you also finding resistance sometimes with new clients you're onboarding? Because for me, the new clients onboarding are kind of easy because I just lay it out as this is how I work before we even agree to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So I found onboarding new people, it's not been an issue. It took a little explaining with some existing clients that have been with you for a long time, but where are you running into it?
I run into it a few times with clients who sort of would rather have their head in the sand. They don't necessarily want to know what's going on.
Are they existing or new people coming on board?
I think the problem there is if you're only talking about performance, I don't want to talk about performance every month either.
No, I don't think the problem is the performance. In a couple of cases that I'm thinking of, it's when they know they're spending too much money.
Oh, interesting.
They kind of don't want to hear it.
Well, wait, who's an example of who you're thinking of?
Ann Kelly.
Yeah, but I mean, and I think that she takes the calls anyway. I mean, and I think that and that's a situation, by the way, and having everybody on the phone mixes, you know, there could come a day when Ann Kelly says, "You didn't tell me I was spending too much money." And I think the fact that we're having the monthly calls is something that says, you know what? We've got 3 years of notes that says we told you this day was coming.
Oh, right. No, I agree. I agree that we can't back off of those kind of clients. But I'm just saying that's where I've seen, you know, people tend to want to keep their head in the sand. And so these monthly calls are kind of a painful reminder to them that they don't really want to address all the time.
Interesting.
And quite honestly, I mean, today I blew up Martel and tossed her off the ship, largely as a consequence of the fact that I told her I don't want to talk to you every month. I don't want you for a client anymore.
Right.
And I think and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's, you know, a special kind of situation.
But I think that's one of we need to acknowledge the upside of being able to say to a client, you know, we talk to you, we give you advice, you don't follow it, and we need to make sure that this relationship is going away. And I think that's part of what Rob says. If you find out you can't do 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, you know, do a damn good job at the 60 or 50 or 45 that you do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Well, and I mean, one of the things that comes out of it is this, you know, the forensic conversation as to why don't they really want to have these conversations? I think this has been amazingly valuable in the sense of every one of them has an issue that either they have their head in the sand, they don't want to deal with their own problems, which means that compliance-wise down the road, like Stephen said, we could have the problem when they said, you never told us or you let me continue to spend. You let me continue to spend it even though you told me, and therefore I want my money back. And the court and the arbitrator would give them the money back.
Rob,
and that's the hardest part of our job, is to know that we're always the one with the deep pockets and we're going to lose.
Yeah,
but,
Rob.
Yeah.
Another rich side of the vein, and I alluded to it earlier, is that there's the non-compliant client who doesn't want to have the conversation and with whom we need to have it. But there's also the super compliant client who wants you to be happy and wants you not to have to spend time with them. And their level of gratitude is so high that if we simply spend 7 minutes once a month talking to them, it actually deepens the relationship into their levels of already high levels of gratitude.
Right. I mean, and there's nothing wrong, guys, to also say, by the way, we're still open for business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have someone that you think would be a good match, we're taking on a few new families this year.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't keep us a secret. That's okay. You can take part of your conversation when they're so grateful for you just calling them to remind them, this is a great way for you to do us a favor if you're so inclined. And they'll be like, yes, okay, I can do something for you.
And by the way,
Rob,
to that end, Kay actually was able to mine a relationship out of a client that I would never have tried to mine a relationship, and she wasn't intending to. It was simply that she was doing such a good job with a doctor that he sent another doctor to us. And I would, you know, I think that when you get that kind of accidental positivity, I think, we need to realize that that's if that happens without asking, God knows what happened if Swan ever would ask.
that's when it's not an accident. See, when you're giving great service, then it becomes part of your process that people want to send in. They send them. We call it magnetic marketing, where people are drawn to you because they like you and they want to send you people without you asking. That's truly the definition of a center of influence, somebody that sends you business without you asking.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things. One of them is for you all, you remember the five steps of really owning something or being sold something or selling something? Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. People go through that. Some people can go through it quickly. Those are the easy, early adopters. And then some people take more time. So they're curious. Like with Supernova, you were curious. You had enough interest to sign up. You gain knowledge through the training program. You believe in it now. And you're, many of you are on the enthusiasm side. Okay? So now you can sell it. But remember, your clients haven't been through the whole process yet. Everyone buys the same way: curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So I made it my five-time rule. It's not their fault until I tell them five times. So
right.
Have you told them five ways that this is going to benefit them? Or have you just told them once and they said, no, I don't need it? See, they're not even curious at that point.
Well,
so
and
got
I think
to get them, yeah, you got to get them through that process. It's a training.
But that's why we need the call, Rob, is because I will say I was much more evangelical on week four than I was on week 11. So getting reinforced at this level helps us.
Can I throw something else in there too, Rob?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just on that point about telling them the message five times, one of the things I've gotten in the habit of doing in the course of these conversations is when the opportunity presents itself, you make the comment, you know, that's one of the advantages of these monthly conversations, blah, 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 whatever it might be, whether it be going through a volatile market that we're never that far apart. But every opportunity I have on these things, I remind them of why we're doing what we're doing. And I think that's helped get them bought into it more. To your point, hearing five different times why it matters, you know.
So
I think it's okay to explicitly say it, you know.
One of the I just had an FA call me from another firm and suggest that I call his boss, because there's a problem with fee-based accounts that do minimal transactions, and they find that it's, you know, against, you know, they want to see transactions in there. They want a fair deal for the client. They don't want to
right.
have no transactions and a fee. And so one of the things that they are looking for is some kind of value being created by the financial advisor to pay for that fee. And so, I mean, we did that, you know, back in the very beginning of Supernova, saying in order, you know, fee-based accounts are advantageous because it eliminates conflicts of interest, which you're both on the same side of the table. But creating, with every client getting a financial plan, creating an agenda from that financial plan, following up on it 12-4-2 forever, the financial planning process isn't an event. It's an ongoing process. Having that process going on forever will eliminate that compliance issue for you guys. And I think that that's also another argument that you can say is that we have an obligation to contact you and to fully implement your financial plan and keep up to date on the financial plan. So this isn't a contact about the market. It's a contact about your financial plan, your life, and your future, and your children's future. So, you know, as time changes and events change, your situation will change, and look how much has changed in the last month or 2 months or 3 months, per example, that Trent just had. I mean, things change so dramatically. So you've got a very powerful argument. You just have to make it and articulate it with enthusiasm, and the clients will come through and will do it. Unless you have another problem, right, as we've discussed. And those are individual issues that you need to deal with, either by having a meeting with the manager and tell them that this client is overspending their money, put them on probation, and if they won't comply, fire them. Things like that are really important. People that won't listen to you and don't value your counsel. So every one of these that says no should be an alert a red light that is beaming, you know, flashing red light that says problem, problem.
Yep.
Okay, so I think that's the way you want to look at it and examine every single client that isn't doing 12-4-2 and say, are they just not a good fit? What is wrong? Because something is wrong when people don't want to talk to a valued consultant. To me, we haven't sold it right. We haven't educated them. They aren't right. They've got a problem. They're hiding from us. They're hiding from themselves. There's something weird going on. So I think it's this has been a good call for the purpose of saying, you know, and by the way, Trent, Supernova is communication is Supernova, right?
I mean,
so having a weekly, daily meeting with your team for 10 minutes is good. It's communications. Wherever there's lack of communications, there's naturally misunderstandings. And so the more you guys can communicate with each other, even if it's for 10 minutes, is incredibly important and valuable and part of the leadership issue under the 5-star model. It's squarely into the leadership camp. Okay?
Okay.
So.
Damn, I paid you for that? You're right. Okay. You're right, Rob. Damn it. Okay.
I know. Well, look.
You're right, Stephen. Okay.
Stephen is asking.
We'll figure out a way to make that happen. As you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, if somebody doesn't want to be involved with you, then they're not really, you know, they're not a client. I mean, they're not. Because it's not just, we're not just helping them. We can help them. We can help their family members. I mean, we can help. I've gone into this multi-generational planning. You know, I dive out of the airplane with it every day. Where I'm helping, I mean, I was just on the phone last week with a client's son who's a senior in college coming out, working in real estate, asking me kind of, you know, what he should save and how he should do. He's getting his first job. I think it's, if you have a client whose kid is graduating from college or something, you're missing an opportunity if you don't start doing that multi-generational planning and reach out to them and call them and say, hey, you know, it's, let me at least get on the phone with your grandson and offer them some advice. And we actually have some great pieces to help those kids. So maybe you're not helping them at that point in the time because they're like, all right, everything's fine. I have enough money. I have enough income. Everything's good. But, you know, they have a kid that they're not so pleased with or whose grandkid is out there doing something that maybe you can help their grandkid. Maybe we're generation skipping planning with them. So you might, and then in the end, you may end up helping their kids through helping their grandkids. So who knows? I think that there's a lot of opportunities that aren't just the specific client in front of you. And it's hard to think outside of that box, but if you can, I think you get a I don't think it's about deep relationships because I think everybody builds pretty deep relationships with their clients, but I think it's about expanding their relationships into areas that they care about, but they haven't really thought that you could help them with.
Well, per that, I was in front of church on Sunday and standing around with four people, and we were giving one of my friends, whose sister was just put into rehab the day before, we were giving him some support and went around the horn, and every single person in the group had committed somebody to a rehab program in their family. Personally, they had been involved. Every single person. So you think, well, that will never happen, and of course I couldn't be of any help anyway. Of course you can be of help, and of course it's going to happen to the majority of your clients.
Right.
And so what do you need? You need the enthusiastically endorsed list of those professionals that help out in those situations so that a client calls you and says, hey, this is a situation that's unfolding. I know you know people in the area. Do you have a recommendation? You go, yes, I do. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you become the connector and the go-to person for everything family related, not just investments. And so they look forward to talking with you about their life not just their investment. And so your job becomes much more fun, I mean, interesting and helpful. It's great to help, right? I mean, great to help.
Mm-hmm. Matter on that lines, I have a client that, you know, client to the stars, you know, Donald Trump's used him with his wife in the past, who takes on one or two clients at a time into a rehab program, and that's all he does, one or two clients at a time. But he'll get on the phone with my clients and talk to them about their kids anytime I ask him to.
Wow.
So, great guy. But he takes on one or two max at the time and gets them cleaned up. Do they come back? Sometimes, because that's what addiction does. But you know, having that conversation, I guess, just brings out the resources to the group of what other things we have. So I heard 10 minutes in the morning and focus on the scheduler and a lot of good things today. So.
All right, just to follow up, guys, one of the ways to keep yourself enthusiastic, as Stephen said, he was enthusiastic before and now he kind of got off and now he's back. Stay enthusiastic. This will sound self-serving, but keep in mind I'm a total nonprofit. So, buy my audio books. All right, I've got three out. Two of them are in audio now: The Supernova Advisor and Supernova Teams. You probably haven't even read The Supernova Teams, and that will help you every time the team has an issue. There's a chapter in there on what that issue is and how to fix it.
Okay.
Okay. And soon I'll have the Supernova Multiplier out. It is in hard copy now on Amazon, but it will be in audio within 2 weeks. So, but the point is, in your commute, instead of listening to the music or sports talk, listen to my books and do it every day for a month, all right? And then we'll talk and see what it did for you, because you never step into the same river twice. You're going to be in a different place every time you listen to the book.
Mm-hmm.
And each chapter will be, you'll just hear new things and you'll say, I never knew that. I didn't know that. And you'll learn and it'll be reinforced and you'll hear me or my proxy on a regular basis, which is very reinforcing, I think, for what you want to do. I used to do it all every day, going to work and coming from work. Okay.
All right.
Yep. So that's your homework from me.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And we all love the book,
guys.
So it's easy. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You guys want to jump or you?
I don't need to jump.
Steven?
I think he jumped.
Anybody else other than Cammy here?
Just me.
Hey, Vinny, what's up?
No, it's Herb.
Oh, Herb. Hey, Herb.
Oh,
how's
Herb.
It going?
Good.
Interesting.
I didn't know you were on there. I thought it was.
I didn't know you were on there at all.
No, I was keeping quiet. I was getting ready to plead the fifth if I got called in.
Well, welcome
all right,
aboard.
Guys. Yeah,
thanks,
guys.
Yeah. Any questions? I mean, it's kind of a lot. We go over a lot.
No, yeah. I know we're trying to figure out the best to make it easiest for you guys. I'm here to do it. Joanne's kind of been leading this because I've been trying to focus on getting up to speed on the most important things. But I'm trying to get myself in the mix with this. I'm still, like, working with Joanne on it. I'm glad somebody pointed out the scheduler. Because Joanne has been racking her brain for the last 2 or 3 weeks in Excel trying to create scheduler. Yeah,
she
wasted.
Need to be racking her brain.
So
she doesn't need to rack her brain at all.
I know. I feel bad. I don't even want to even show her that this because she's going to be like.
No, the part of the reason is Stephen.
I know. That's why I literally,
we'll get him
you guys
up to speed,
had called me, and
yeah
I was going to plead the fifth because I don't want to, you know.
Right, of course.
But
we'll
certainly, Joanne's coming in tomorrow, and I'll talk to her about these things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Guys.
I'll talk to you, Kay, before you take off. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Bye. I'll talk to you before you leave. I got a client or two, but I'll be done talking with clients by 4:30. We'll grab a little time.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I'm coming down to Stuart.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Bye.